I'm now joined by TD Fiona O'Loughlin to talk about the government's handling of direct provision for asylum seekers. Good afternoon, Fiona, and thank you very much for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Johnny. Good afternoon to you and your listeners.
Yeah, you're most welcome. The pleasure is all ours. First of all, Fiona, if you don't mind, just for the sake of our listeners, to explain that direct provision is the current system to accommodate asylum seekers in Ireland. They're housed in residential institutions known as direct provision centres right across the country. It was initially intended to provide for their basic needs whilst their applications are being processed, starting off in 1999, and the average length of stay has been about 3 years, but many still have spent up to 10 or 12 years living in these conditions. So what's your view, Fiona, in relation to the government's handling of the whole situation?
Well, Johnny, you're absolutely right in saying that the direct provision centres were set up almost 20 years ago as a short-term solution, and it was to prevent widespread homelessness among asylum seekers. But when we look at it now, we're almost 20 years later, we have 5,000 asylum seekers living in direct provision, and a third of them are children. And they're living in very, very difficult situations. Only 3 of the 34 direct provision centres were purpose-built. So a lot of other buildings were acquired. And a lot of people are making a lot of money out of this system as well. So when we look at the conditions that somebody lives in, they cannot, in most of the provision centres, they cannot cook for themselves. The exception now is Mosny, and that's a good thing. That has changed in the last year so that people who are staying there can cook their own meals. In every other centre, they have to eat the meals that are provided for them. And you can imagine, you know, people coming from different cultures, there's different palates, that it's very difficult to get used to another type of diet. And equally, because people are there, they have time, preparing a meal and eating a meal together could be a joyous occasion. And sadly, it's not. People have a very small allowance, it's just over €20 a week. So when people are trying to better themselves, trying to study, it's very, very difficult. And I was speaking to some living in direct provision actually just over the weekend, and one man who's in the Sligo Centre described what it's like for whole families having to be in one room, and that, you know, maybe parents and 3 children. But then another young man I know, James, who's in direct provision in my own town in Newbridge, has told me what it's like, you know, to, as a single man, to be sharing a room with three other men, all from different countries, all from different cultures, in a very small room. And they're there for years upon years, and it's very difficult. And obviously, they suffer a lot then from depression and mental health issues. The rate of depression is up to 5 times higher than the wider community. There's no access to proper mental health services. So it's a very, very difficult system for people to live in.
Absolutely, yeah. You were saying that there are currently almost 5,000 asylum seekers living in direct provision, and one third of them are children. Would I be right?
No, you're absolutely right. And
okay.
That's actually more people in direct provision than are in Irish jails. And obviously a lot of those that are in direct provision would say that they are nearly jails in themselves. I have visited a number of them, particularly Eyre Powell, which is in just actually a few doors up from my own office. And it's very difficult. People have no motivation. They're stuck there with very little to do. They can do some educational courses, but they can only go to a certain level in terms of FEACHAC. There are some young men I know who did a sports coaching with the Sports Partnership, and the Sports Partnership guys would say they were absolutely fantastic, and they'd love to see them integrating in the community and helping to coach with the football teams. And obviously we're always looking for volunteers there, but because of the Garda vetting, they're not actually allowed to do that either. So I think the government needs to do an awful lot more. The McMahon report was published a number of years ago and very much criticised a lot of different factors of direct provision, but very few of those recommendations have been put into place.
Right. I know that the standards and living conditions, that they vary widely from centre to centre. However, I've seen photos of a centre in Athlone, and the photo was taken in 2013, but the units were actually just a stack of mobile homes. Not exactly ideal for winter months, if I may say so. But are there no standards in place for direct provision centres at all?
There's recently, when we heard about the issues in Sligo, I asked the minister in the Gáil Chamber about the inspection regime. At the moment, these centres are only inspected about two times a year, and advance notice is given. So there must be a much better, robust inspection standard. That's one of the issues. The right to work, obviously, is another, and as we know, there was a European Court decision in relation to this, and it basically said that Ireland was completely discriminating against people who are here in direct provision, the fact that they cannot work. And we have a shortage in the health system, in the education system, and many of the people who are living in direct provision are very highly qualified people. They're doctors, teachers, engineers, and there would be opportunities available for them. So the government has brought in some measures, but those measures actually make it very difficult for anybody to be able to go into full employment or to go into even part-time employment. So there really needs to be an awful lot done for these 5,000 people, and many of them living here for many years, and children growing up in that system, and that becomes their norm. That's really wrong. The children that are both born here in Ireland in direct provision and children who maybe came here as babies or toddlers. So what type of Ireland are we showing them? And it's very difficult for parents who want to do the best for their children and want to be role models for their children. And they see themselves as failing in that.
Yeah. Actually, the Supreme Court judgment you just mentioned on a case taken in 2017 found Ireland's complete ban on employment for asylum seekers to be completely unconstitutional. So would you agree that this was the reason behind Ireland choosing to finally opt into the EU Receptive Directive?
Oh, it was, absolutely. And I don't think the government would have done anything if it was not for that judgment. And they had to be really dragged do something, to put in an interim measure in January, and that was literally the day before the deadline in terms of the Supreme Court saying that they had to do something by this deadline, and that was followed then in April. But the conditions that they've put in place, it can only be in certain sectors. Those in direct provision have to earn more than 30,000 to be able to qualify, and proven very difficult. And also, if they're in a situation where they are appealing, they're not eligible either. So they fall very short of what I certainly believe would be the interpretation of the Supreme Court decision.
Right, OK. Is it true that only 7 of the centres are actually state-owned and the majority are actually run by private contractors and for-profit on behalf of the state?
That is true. And there are people making a lot of money, and I think I stand to be corrected on this, but I think the system costs about €56 million a year to run. And the Immigrant Council were at a conference that I was at, the Fianna Fáil Ógra conference, which have highlighted direct provision as an area they'd like to see a lot of changes in, and they spoke about the concept, which I think is a good one, of having the centres being run not for profit, and then I think the money could be invested in better areas and in supporting the people that we have here, the 5,000 people, to be able to make better choices and have better lives. And it shouldn't be just seen as a money making machine for some certain individuals.
Yeah, I think for children being stuck, and even those born within, you know, the whole thing of the direct provision and raised from there, it must be a very, very lonely and very feel like being in prison and away from society, isolated from society for them.
Absolutely, yeah. And they're not allowed bring. So, you know, when The youngsters who are in school and they want to go on a play date or meet people, they're not allowed to bring people back into the centre. And hopefully they get to visit other homes and see the norm, but it must be very difficult for them then coming back in to the centre and seeing what they have. And if they are meeting other children and maybe it's their turn to host something, it can only be maybe in the local McDonald's or the local play area. And again, obviously, there is an expense there, and those that are in direct provision are living on very little money, as I've mentioned earlier. So it's a very, very difficult place for so many.
Absolutely. Although they get three meals a day, they only get an allowance. I think it's €21.60, isn't
That's
it?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right. And it was €19 and it went up in the last 18 months. But look, as you and I and so many know, that does not go very far when you have to clothe yourself and you have to basically everything that you need apart from your three meals. And there are those that I've spoken to too that really dislike the food, don't like the food that they have, and they try to pay for food out of that allowance for themselves also. So it's a very, very difficult way of existing, and existing is the only way nearly that you could say it.
Yes. Unfortunately, Fiona, some people will say that we need to deal with our own homeless first. After all, they are Irish and homeless, and at least the refugees and asylum seekers have a roof over their heads, they get free meals and an allowance. What would you have to say about that? What's your view?
I think we need to deal with both. I don't think one should exclude the other. Because of the awful crisis that we have in our country at the moment, there is a lot of Irish people who are in emergency accommodation, and that's shocking. There's also a lot of people who can't put their foot on the property ladder. That's a shocking situation. I think that it's adding to the complication of the problem with direct provision, because there are some people who have been granted residency from direct provision after a number of years, and they qualify for HAP or for rent allowance, but they can't actually find a place to go to, so they have to stay in the direct provision centre. So one problem is you know, causing a problem for others, but I think, and completely acknowledging that we have a huge problem here for the Irish people, doesn't mean that we can't be compassionate or try to have a better system for those that are in direct provision. Irish people are generally compassionate, I find, and they understand that these are people who have fled war-torn countries. They have fled in fear of their lives, and they're hoping to find a better future for themselves and for their families if they bring family with them. So I think that one cannot mutually exclude the other.
Absolutely. Given the opportunity in government, what would your goals and objectives be to resolve the problems associated with direct provision for asylum seekers rapidly?
Well, I think that first of all we would have to look at changing the whole culture, and even, you know, going back to trying to make them not for profit. I think, and be able to invest the money then into educational supports. Like, you know, for example, the residency requirement for education at the moment is 5 years. I think it could be reduced to 3 years. I think we need to have a significant investment in mental health services. And I say that actually across the board as well. But the fact that people in direct provision don't have any direct access to mental health supports, I think, is absolutely shocking. The end goal must be to close down direct provision centres and to enable our asylum seekers to integrate into the wider community. And obviously that can't happen overnight, but I think it's something, a vision and a roadmap should be absolutely set out for that, because Ireland as a country has a very low success rate when it comes to integrating asylum seekers into society. And I don't think that's any surprise considering the environment that the asylum seekers are forced to endure in direct provision centres. We certainly need to be able to help them find suitable work, because, as I mentioned already, there are considerable barriers in place preventing people in direct provision accessing work and accessing education. So I think there's a number of different areas that we could absolutely concentrate on. And then looking at the accommodation themselves, a lot of the accommodation is substandard. Many children are denied access to suitable play areas. And I think we have to look at that. We have to look at the whole inspection scheme as well. So there's many, many different challenges that are there, but I think we would absolutely have to look at them.
Excellent. Fiona, thanks again for joining us today. Very
pleasure,
best of luck
then.
With everything. Yeah,
thank
you're most
you.
Welcome.
Take care.
All the best.
Yeah.
Take care, and you have a great day.
Yeah.
And we'll talk again sometime.
Thank you. Take care.
Cheers.
Bye.
All the best. Now, that was Fiona O'Loughlin, TD, telling us about the government's handling of the direct provision for asylum seekers.